Chico Wildflower Century Ride in sunny California. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, thou shall not covet thy neighbour's bike. Little known commandment.
Yeah, probably not even in the top 50.
No, but is it one that will unlock the secret of cycling happiness? We explore whether wanting new bike stuff leads us down the path of riding bikes we don't like.
Plus, the return of the thumb shifter, MotoGP riders doing bicycle races, multiple new world records in the velodrome, and rumours of a merger that could make a new super team.
Whoa.
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that there's a new women's world hour record.
But not a new women's world hour record holder, because Vittoria Bussi added 188 metres to her previous benchmark that she set in October 2023.
Which takes it up to 50.455 kilometres. Well done, Vittoria. And there was another world record breaking ride last week too. In fact, Swiss triathlete Jonathan Gisselin got 4 in one go.
Yeah. That's a little bit like uploading a ride with a strong tailwind to Strava, isn't it? Just achievements unlocked.
Oh yes, they're good.
Yeah. Anyway, in riding 271 kilometres in, wait for it, just 6 hours, he also got the 200 kilometre, the 100 mile and the 100 kilometre world records as well. He averaged 46.1 kilometres per hour on the velodrome in Granges.
Quite something, that.
Yeah.
And he's also got a truly inspiring story coming back from a life torn apart by grief. So huge congratulations to Jonathan.
Yeah. Now, this week at the Coffee Machine, we have been chatting about how the price of bikes and kit has increased in recent years, and especially at the top end of the market.
In fact, we are consistently gobsmacked by some of the prices that people are going with to maintain, as we call it, premium position in the market.
Yeah. I mean, this is not new, right? And it's not the first time we've had this conversation at the Coffee Machine. But essentially, there's this crazy catch-22 situation, isn't there? So, not just in cycling, but everywhere. For a product to be seen as good, it needs to be expensive. And so, to be the best often means being the most expensive. So, in a sport like cycling, there is stiff competition to be the top, and arguably, this has eroded like the middle range of products as well.
Without doubt, it has also led to some incredible products and innovation.
True.
It doesn't guarantee it. There's a real risk that you can also get some crap stuff that people still want, just because it's expensive and is used by your influencer of choice.
Ooh. Let's not get started on influencers, Dan. Although maybe we can have a brief segue.
Go on then.
Well, when it comes to marketing, right, in terms of cycling, pro teams used to be the influencers, didn't they? But the thing is, a pro team can't afford to use crap products because it will stop them from being competitive, won't it?
Yeah.
Now more than ever, influencers ever can use whatever the heck they get paid for as long as it looks good.
Yeah, needing to look good. Clearly being the reason, Si, why you and I are not influencers, I would
say.
Yes,
that, and I've never been on TikTok. And my last post on Instagram was from June last year.
Was it really? Need to get back on it, mate.
My last post on Instagram. I've collabed a couple of times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I did have TikTok for a couple of years. Oh, no, a couple of weeks, should
I say. Couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks back in lockdown. But I deleted it pretty rapidly because I was going to spend a lot of time on it. It's quite addictive, TikTok, isn't it? Now, the real issue from this style of advertising comes not from wasting money on something that's not very good, but from something more corrosive. Wanting something that you don't have, and potentially, in many cases, can't have.
Yeah, and then also, potentially, don't need either. So I was thinking about this, actually, on Sunday. So Ollie and I did the Fred Witten Challenge, okay, which is a legendary sportif slash grand fondo here in the UK. We've got a video on it covering in a couple of weeks, actually, so keep your eyes peeled. The route is notoriously hard.
It is.
Right, so the climb's savagely steep. The descents are as bad, frankly. Ollie has ridden it a couple of times, a few times, in fact. The first one, which I think he said was back in 2013, and we were chatting about bike tech, because that's what we do. And he said that the biggest difference for him now, over whenever that was, 12 years ago, was having disc brakes. Which I was really surprised. But anyway, he said disc brakes made a fundamental difference for him. But then it made me think, right? So in 2013, everyone presumably got around the Fred Witten fine. on their rim breaks, as plenty of people did this year on rim breaks, because of course they would get round fine, because rim breaks are great. The only reason you wouldn't want rim breaks is if you used disc brakes. You see?
I do see, but the same could be true of any cycling tech innovation since the invention of the bike itself, right?
True.
In fact, we get this under every video that we ever make about new tech. So some people are excited and others say, I don't need this. So everyone draws their own line as to what that imaginary line is and where it is. Maybe it's clip-in pedals or down-tube shifters. Maybe it's deep section wheels or disc brakes or even wider tyres.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And the fact is, any bike that works is a great bike, right? The issue then is whether or not seeing other newer, more expensive bikes that perhaps work better or even just look better makes you less happy to ride what you've got.
I feel like we can say it absolutely does, can't we?
Yeah.
And we joke about coveting being one of the Ten Commandments in the Torah and the Bible, but I guess it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
Looking at what someone else has that you don't have is a huge reason for dissatisfaction or general unhappiness, and now it's got to be harder than ever.
Yeah. I mean, I look at cycling Instagrammers and I get FOMO.
Do you?
Yeah, which is crazy, right?
Yeah, because we're absolutely part of this too, right, here at GCN. I mean, so GCN was started with a view to making videos for cyclists that would be, hopefully, helpful, informative, and unravel the mysteries of the sport.
Yeah. And we try and inspire people to ride as well.
We
get on bikes.
We try in our own way.
We do, yeah.
But we also get to ride the newest, most amazing bikes on the planet and then make videos about them too. The difficulty for us in this context is that we also know that you lot like those videos by and large because a lot of you watch them. And we like watching them, so I mean, I like watching myself, obviously. We like watching the videos that each other makes.
Yeah.
And we like making those videos as well.
Yeah, I like watching videos about new tech. Hmm? That's true, yeah. And because you like watching them, or a lot of you do, we feel like we shouldn't stop making them for a kind of higher purpose. But while we do try and champion less expensive, less modern tech as well, or what upgrades are the best value, like tyres and inner tubes, yeah, you've heard. But there's also limits to how much of that type of content we can make, right? Yeah. There has to be a balance.
And if you don't watch the GCN video about it, you could and would find out about it somewhere else on YouTube. So we can't stop that. So I guess the question is, what can we do about it?
Well, I Googled it.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
And?
Well, Google had a lot to say on this subject. I Googled how to stop influencer envy. Anyway, many, many things, but building self-esteem and practicing gratitude were the top of the list.
Crikey, well, that sounds a little bit
doesn't it? Yeah.
Probably true, though.
Probably is true, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what practicing gratitude actually looks like, but I suspect it means riding your bike and being thankful for what you've got. Like, this bike's amazing. I've ridden X kilometres, or I've gone this fast, or I've gone up this hill, or I've gone down this hill. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, it is a thing, isn't it? Not just in cycling, but in life in general. That if you wake up first thing in the morning, before you go on your phone, make your coffee or whatever, you just spend 2 minutes thinking about how you've got it good in life.
Yeah.
And it is proven to be very effective, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. And we could probably go a little bit further, though, other than just generic Google self-help things, because we know bikes pretty well, right? And all the new tech that we get to ride is amazing. But I think we can say it's never transformative. It's not the difference between walking and cycling, right? Like, it makes bikes better, but not like you wouldn't want to ride what you've had before.
No, I get what you're saying. It's always hard to go backwards in life, though, isn't it? Like, as you scale up, hopefully, in terms of your career, your earnings, your house, your car, etc., it's very difficult to then think about going in a backwards direction.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Anyway, what would you say that you couldn't do without from a cycling-specific specific perspective? That's hard to say, isn't it?
Yes.
Don't say those £300 bib shorts that you looked at earlier, by the way.
I couldn't believe they were 300 quid. So what could I go back for? So super high-end, amazing products. As we've said, be great, be that bikes or wheels or group sets. But on road bikes, I think I would struggle to go back from carbon wheels and really fast tyres. Like, particularly the fast tyres.
Right.
Like, I'd struggle to go back. So I'd be happy to go back to rim brakes, I'd be happy to go back to mechanical group sets, exposed cables, all of that, totally fine. Mm. Those other two, I think, make a meaningful difference to me on a bike.
Interesting.
On gravel, tubeless was a game changer for me, to the extent, actually, that if you look, there was a video on GCN from 11 years ago where I made a DIY tubeless setup.
Yeah.
Or rather, I showed you lot my own DIY tubeless setup that I've been running for a couple of years previously. And then, I have to say, on gravel as well, disc brakes. For me, a gravel cyclocross, absolute total game changer.
Right.
What about you?
I would say it's got to be my head unit.
Well, you were an early adopter of the head unit, weren't you?
Oh, I mean, from the very first days of my Sigma wired computer, I've always loved having some sort of data on my screen. And as things have progressed, I've been able to have more and more data with different things. And I'm totally addicted to it. So rather sadly, I almost don't see the point of riding without knowing the numbers from the ride. I know that's going to sound completely alien to so many of you out there watching this, but I've kind of resigned myself to that. I just love data. And I love seeing progress.
Ah, seeing progress. I miss that.
Well, you are still progressing, kind of, aren't you?
What way is that?
You are progressing backwards, I think, is what you'll find.
Progressing backwards, isn't that regressing?
That's the one.
Yeah, okay, thanks, mate. Cheers for that. We would be very interested to hear what you lot all think about this. Not for the last point, we don't need to go there, do we? But genuinely, is there a way to combat bike envy? So have you found a way to duck out of the kind of tech arms race?
And what tech would you not be without? And is worth the hype?
Yeah, let us know in the comments section down below. And also, can I just go back to Fred Whitten?
Go on.
Just briefly. I just want to say hello to all of the people that came up at the event and were super friendly and welcoming to me and Ollie.
You were genuinely blown away, weren't you?
I was, absolutely. It was so cool meeting so many people and riding with so many people as well. So, yeah. Big thumbs up to the Fred Whitten Challenge.
I presume I'm not allowed to give spoilers here?
No.
Okay. I will refrain from the comment I was about to make.
Thank you.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that MotoGP riders are actually pretty good at riding push bikes as well.
Which perhaps should be no surprise, like. But in Le Mans over the weekend, they swapped two wheels for two wheels, but an engine for legs to compete in a time trial and a mass start sprint race. And we have to say, looking at this footage, they look blooming good on bikes, don't
not
they?
Just on the corners either. No, check out this turn of speed from Marc Marquez. At the end of the sprint race, they had some pretty top-end advice and help coming into that sprint, though, as Marquez was keen to point out.
It was super nice because Mark Cavendish just pushed a lot on that T4 to make us the lifting for the sprint, and yeah, that sprint, I know that I have a good badge there.
I just think it's really cool how into it they were. I mean, they genuinely seemed to love it, even though they were only doing about a fifth of the speed that they're used to around that track.
Yeah, Maverick Vinales of Red Bull KTM Tech 3 won the two-up team time trial with his team mechanic.
I think it was a team mechanic, not entirely sure, but they did it with a staff member each.
I see. We will flip back to proper pro cyclists now. Proper pro cyclists. Yeah. Because it won't escape your attention that Grand Tour season is upon us.
No, it's well and truly started, isn't it? Demi Vollering won the Vuelta Feminas last week, dominating both mountain stages.
You had a good stat about her, didn't you, in terms of how many...
Yeah, she's not finished outside the top two of a stage race for about 2.5 years. And in that time, I think she's done 14 and won 9.
Whoa.
Something along those lines.
It's not bad, is it?
It's a new show for confirmation. But Marianne Vos, the GOAT, took 2 stage wins and the points jersey along the way. I think she's now got 40 Grand Tour stage wins, despite the fact that the Tour de France fam Avec Zwift only started a couple of years ago.
That brings me great joy that Marianne Vos is still smashing it.
I know.
Yeah, it really does.
She was second on two stages as well. Unbelievable.
Well, every single road stage was won by a Dutch woman.
It was, yeah.
Which, yeah, their stranglehold shows no sign of abating.
No, particularly, actually, as Anna van der Breggen is looking good already on her comeback. She was third overall. Well done to Marlon Reusser too. She finished second and looked super impressive in the mountains. Very well done.
Yeah, meanwhile, at the Giro d'Italia, Mats Pedersen and Lidl Trek couldn't have asked for a better start, really, could they? He won both road stages on days 1 and 3, and a solid time trial in the middle means that he was in pink going into today's stage four.
Primoz Roglic is looking in great form too for Red Bull, isn't it? He narrowly missed out on victory in the stage two time trial to young Josh Tarling, who incidentally became the youngest ever winner of a time trial stage at the Giro d'Italia.
No way. Yep. Fair play to him, that's a good stat. Some new tech has been spotted by Cycling News at the Giro as well from Italian groupset manufacturer Campagnolo.
Now, no prizes for guessing which team was spotted with a new groupset because Cofidis are now the only Campi team left in the World Tour. Anyway, the headlines from Cycling News are that they've gone 13 speed, which is a first for a road-specific group set, and there is the return, by popular demand, of the thumb shifter.
Yes, I am a fan of the Campi thumb shifter. So, fellow Campi thumb shifter fans, rejoice. Can we say, by the way, just in case anyone, any pedants jump in here, the Lidl Trek riders were using 13 speed group sets at the classics, weren't they? But that is the SRAM Red Access Explore group set.
Gravel.
It's officially a gravel group set. Anyway, some news from our own now. On top of the brand new t-shirt and hoodie designs that we announced on last week's show, we've now got two pink themed Camelback Beedons. Have we?
I think you might have forgotten to bring them up. That's
Hang on a minute. I'll be back in a sec. I'm back.
What I meant?
Thanks.
The problem with this is that you did run downstairs and back up them again in a pink t-shirt. Keep your eyes out on the pink t-shirt for the rest of this show.
Yeah.
So this is the plastic version, but we've also got that stainless steel one too.
Yeah.
Incidentally, we sold out the black version of that stainless steel Camelback water bottle back in March. So if you would like to get your hands on one this time around, you better not hang around.
Yeah, they're super nice, aren't they? I like the fact that the GCN logo is kind of etched into the...
They're quality.
Yeah, they are. Super cool. Now, whilst we're at it, we also wanted to let you know that we have currently got our Fans Guide to Pro Cycling on sale at half price. So it's one of a number of books that you can find over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
You're out of breath and flustered, aren't you? Running downstairs and back again. Thanks, incidentally, to the one person who purchased almost the entire new collection of pink-themed T-shirts and hoodies last week. Not sure if you lost your luggage at some point in the airport, but very much appreciated.
That is super cool, isn't it? I was also supposed to bring up a copy of Emma Pooley's new book. We talked about it on the show a few weeks back. She was a former GCN presenter, although better known for being a former world champion. anyway, I accidentally took it home to read it. So we'll have to show you Emma's book next week. Apologies for that.
I'm sure we can edit it in somehow.
I don't know, really. Anyway, that would be me filming it at home.
That's fine.
Right, moving on to something completely different now. Completely different. It is the UN's Road Safety Week this week. Yeah, bet you didn't know that. The idea is to raise awareness of the fact that 1.2 million people are killed on the roads each year, a quarter of them being pedestrians and cyclists, but also to highlight and hero the places and schemes that are making a difference to that horrific figure.
Such as Fortaleza in Brazil. It's a new name to both of us, I think.
Yeah, I did not know about Fortaleza.
However, an expansion to their cycling network from 70 to 400 kilometres led to a 109% increase in pedestrian activity and made children twice as likely to play outside in the areas that were redesigned.
Yeah, allow them to play outside and not get killed by cars, which seems like a success. Doesn't
seems it? Like a sort of a win-win situation.
It does, there, really, doesn't it? Right, some good news now for those of you who are into keeping things neat.
Yeah, that's me.
Tools?
Yeah, kind of into tools.
Yeah? And 3D printing?
No.
Not so much.
Not yet.
Well, you might get into it, because this actually is super cool. So our friends over at Park Tools have released 7 3D printing files or models or whatever they are that will allow anyone to custom print their own pegboard holders for some of its tools.
And you don't even need to own a 3D printer, do you? Because you can send the files to Craft Cloud, iMaterialize, Print-A-Thing or Shapeways.
Can you?
Apparently so.
Wow.
I mean, obviously I read this online.
Well, yeah. I mean... that sounds plausible. Yeah. We will leave a link in the description that will take you directly to the Park Tools website where you can download whatever it is that you need to make something 3D printed.
It probably is file, like you said earlier.
It probably is a file, yeah. 3D printed
file.
That'll do, yeah. And they're free, we should say. So effectively, you are getting a free Park Tool product.
I do like knee. Do you know, in D&T at school, I did once make myself like a tool board to neatly have all of my bicycle tools on the wall, yeah. But it was less, obviously it wasn't 3D printed back in 1992. It was a board with some screws in where spanners would rest rather neatly.
What mark did you get for
and
that?
And I drew in pencil around all of the Allen key spanners and all the other tools so I knew what was missing. Nice. If anyone nicked it.
Did you get a good mark?
I don't remember.
That's a no then.
Right, we thought we'd draw your attention now to our current performance in the Velo Games Giro d'Italia.
Ooh.
So last week, a few of us in the office entered at the very last minute. We had a couple of hours, didn't we, to choose our teams?
Yeah.
And 3 days in, it's not looking good for Si, or Connor, for that matter.
Wait a second. I think Connor and I have strategically chosen teams that are more skewed towards climbing and the mountains. The Giro is a long race, mate, and I don't want to be at the top of the lead. I don't want to be Mats Pedersen, basically.
Right.
In pink after three stages, I want to be in pink after 21 stages.
Okay, fair enough. Plenty of time, I guess, to get yourselves from the bottom and equal second bottom of the lead. Then.
Who am I equal second bottom with?
With editor Isaac, actually, over there.
Hey, Isaac. Well done, mate. Yeah. Is your team skewed towards mountain specialists?
Yeah, we're going for GC.
Isaac picked Mikel Landa.
Oh,
this is no joking matter, actually, because unfortunately, Mikel Landa withdrew on the very first day with some really serious injuries.
Are they serious? I haven't read about
it. Yeah, he broke a vertebrae. He's going to be out of action for a long time. So we're wishing Mikel a full and speedy recovery.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's not a laughing matter, is it?
No.
No. Right, one more piece of racing news that Dan forgot to mention on yesterday's Racing News Show, but it's arguably one of the most interesting pieces of Racing News Show of the week.
Sorry.
Well done, Dan. Ineos Grenadiers look like they're very close to a merger with French team Total Energie.
Yeah, I think this was first broken by Escape Collective, Chris Marshall, a few weeks ago, but the story was taken a step further just ahead of the weekend by the Times newspaper.
Oof. In the article, Matt Lawton suggested that Total Energie would be a title sponsor and would also be the injection of cash that Ineos need to get back to the top of the sport. So they've spent the last year or two, haven't they, scaling back on their sports
investments. It appears that way, doesn't it? Apart from the fact that they bought a massive chunk of Manchester United.
Well, that's money well spent, isn't it? Although they have cut down on the free canteen of Manchester United, haven't they, I heard.
Yeah. But like you said, money well spent because they've just about avoided relegation this year.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, Remco Evenepoel is once again back on the list of possible recruits for what would be a return of the super team or a new super team. Not quite sure how to phrase it.
That's a good point, actually.
Return, I would say.
Yeah, depends who's still there, isn't it? From the original one.
True.
Because they haven't got the same name and they won't have many of the same riders. And if they don't have any of the same stuff,
I might be overthinking it.
All right, maybe. Let's finish cycling shorts, shall we? With a picture of someone who could probably do with some new cycling shorts.
Yes. This is the face that you pull when you think you're about to hit the deck. Now, amazingly, Richard Carapaz actually held this up on that corner, but Australian champion Luke Platt of Jacobalula wasn't quite so lucky.
No, this is the face that you pull when you do hit the deck.
Ouch. That was a really nasty corner, wasn't it, on the second stage time trial at the Giro. Almost took a few riders down that day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, TT bikes don't really like corners at the best of times, do they? And the speed that they're going, that's also not good. I don't know if the photographer who took those photos got lucky with the spot that he chose or whether actually he picked it very, very deliberately.
I think it might be the latter.
Possibly.
Next up, Hack. /Bodge of the week now. I'm worried about sweat myself at this point. It's quite warm in the studio today. Starting with this from Budgie Johnson, safety pins in numbers. More of a permanent hack, but I've been doing this for a few years now. 18mm safety pin is the best as it's small and neat enough to tuck out of the way. For podcast listeners, this is a disc caliper. What do you call that bit that goes through the caliper there?
Like the retaining pin that holds the pads in place?
Yeah.
So often they're sort of screwed in place, aren't they? And then on some disc brakes, there's like a split pin that locks it in place. But this is a safety pin that locks it in place.
Instead of the split pin, yeah.
There you go. I had no idea it was such an intrinsic piece of safety kit. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was like belt and braces as opposed to like fundamental. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm glad I've seen this now.
We're saying hack or bodge.
Well, like I said, I didn't know that it was something that needed to be done, but...
Well, should we go Budgie's own description of a permanent hack?
Well, okay. or we could call him Budgie.
Well, let's say permanent Bodge.
Budgie Johnson. Okay. Thank you very much for sending that one in. Right, next up, we've got this one from Richard Ward. To spread the load and protect the frame, I fitted an old set of handlebars to the clamps on my workstand. And then I hung the frame on the drops, so it protected the frame with pipe insulation and gaffer tape. Wowee.
That, to me, commitment. Looks very stable on this picture.
It does look stable, doesn't it? So what we're looking at here is a specialised diverge, possibly, on a workstand, but instead of clamping the bike in the workstand, they have clamped handlebars that the bike then rests on.
Yeah.
I mean... I sort of feel like, again, that doesn't need to be done because you just simply clamp the seat post with the work stand, don't you?
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
Well, you can do, and should do, because right. Seat posts are designed to be clamped and therefore, like, you get all the security of your work stand without trashing
your bike. They're designed to be clamped, are they?
Well, that's... Like, as in a seat post.
Oh, so yeah, because, yeah.
Because obviously...
Cut that, Isaac. Don't put that at the top of the show, whatever you do. Yeah, okay. I'll go hack with that one then.
Yeah. What I like about this is it's very easy to get the bike on and off and quick. So for some jobs, you know, like washing it or whatever, that'll be good, wouldn't it?
Yep. So you were saying Bodge because it should be the seat.
Well, I'm sort of saying it might be an overkill, but yeah. I also like it in principle.
Yeah, I'm sticking with hack.
I've got two on the fences so far this week. Yeah. Right, let's see what's up next.
Next is this one from Will. Sunsmart, spotted in Melbourne, Australia. Not very aero, but a novel way to protect against the harsh UV here.
So amazing.
This is a bicycle helmet on top of a hat.
Well, no, it's a hat with a hole cut in it for your bike helmet to go in. So you've basically got like a massive brim all the way around it.
Yep.
Given that it's in Melbourne, do you think they've got corks on strings hanging off it as well?
Might do, mightn't they? Need a Maybe. Different angled picture for that one.
Do you know what, though? It almost looks like it's actually meant to be. Like, it's a real product.
Is it off the peg?
I mean, it can't be, can it?
I can't imagine
there are many people willing to have that sort of look, but, you know. Yeah. Sun damage, it's not to be messed with, mate.
I'm going to go hack, then. You know, just people that... pottering around town, trying to keep the sun on their face.
I'm going Bodge.
He's got his limits.
He's got his limits. And, you know, I know in the context that you legally have to wear helmets in Australia and, you know, so, but like, yeah, that does strike me as being a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Right,
you
Sam.
You use one of those new Giro time trial helmets, it'll have a similar effect, wouldn't it?
That's it. Well, and with my sunglasses of choice, then that's the rest of me sorted. Sam B sent this in. Another one from Melbourne. Weird. Stumbled past this multi-layered hack in a car park in Melbourne. So this is a bike attached to the back of a van. The DIY frame bag and bike rack are as impressive as they are horrifying. There's even a piece of foam sandwiched between the bike and the back window to stop it from smashing. So, yes, this does look quite intriguing. A homemade bike rack. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. I mean, that's a risky business, right?
Oh, yes.
Like, you don't want to mess around with how you attach your bike.
No, I enjoy driving, but I don't enjoy driving when I've got a bike on the roof or behind me on the back.
No.
Because I'm always worried that I've done a bad job and it's going to fall off.
Yeah, this is a problem, right?
And I'd be even more worried if I'd made the bike rack myself.
Yeah, and even in this case, the bike doesn't look super high value, should we say, but you've also got to worry about the fact that were it to fall off the back when you're driving down a road, what will it do to the person who might be driving behind you?
Exactly. Right, yeah. Bodge.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Bodge on that one.
Okay, a couple of hacks, a couple of on the fences, a couple of Bodges. Don't forget, this is the part of the show where you can get involved. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader, where you can upload the hacks and Bodges you've got yourself, what you've seen out and about.
What I want to know is whether anyone will be quick-witted enough to download one of ParkTool's 3D printed files.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
And then upload it next week as a hack.
Yeah, get on it.
It's time now for hack /bodge of the week. Your chance to get your hands.
It's not hack or bodge.
What have I just said?
It's now time for hack /.
Have I?
Yeah. edit that out as well, Isaac.
Hell.
If you keep my one in, you've got to keep that one in.
Jeez, I didn't even notice it. Right. It's time now for caption competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after results from last week.
This was the photo from last week, one of the early road stages of the Vuelta Feminina. Lizzie Dignan looking down at Wahoo head unit. And our winner this week is Phil RB8, who put caption of the week, "Where do you tap to ring the bell again?"
Oh, nice. See what you did there? Seamlessly integrating the new functionality on the Wahoo Element Roam and Ace head units. And actually, it does look like Lizzie is deep in thoughts.
I wonder if any of them have used it in the Pro Peloton. You know that stupid, immature thing that you do in the Pro Peloton when you go through a tunnel of all shouting because it echoes?
Yes, yeah.
I expect there's similar things with the new bell on the head unit thing.
Well, and especially like moving up through the bunch with bottles and so shouting, service, service! You can just ring your bell.
Ring the bell, yeah.
If any pro cyclists out there could let us know whether this has indeed been done.
What Wahoo should do is put different riders' voices in saying, excuse me, so if it's like put Pogacar's voice and everyone would move, surely, wouldn't they?
They would indeed.
Patron the go to the peloton. Anyway, we are digressing slightly. This week's photo
is... By the way, in answer to your question, you double tap the screen.
Yeah. This week's photo is from stage 3 of the Giro d'Italia, the last in Albania before they moved across to Italy for today. As Mats Pedersen crossing the line victorious, looking pleased as punch.
Is he pleased or is he really angry?
Well, he looks angry, but he looks pleased as punch as well.
Okay.
I shall get you started. My name's Mass, not Mads.
Yeah, now I see what you did there. Yeah, I like that.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
Now feels like a good time to remind you, by the way, that you can catch a full season of bike racing, including the Giro d'Italia, live on Discovery Plus and Max. But we should also remind you that to get involved in the caption competition, not Hacklebodge, just post your comments and your captions in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week.
I don't know what you mean by that. Maybe it could be, I'm not mad, I'm Mass. Maybe that'd be better. I'm not Mads, I'm Mass.
That's actually what I wrote down earlier. I just forgot what I'd written. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN over the next week. But first up, some comments from last week's videos. Starting with last week's show, where Booyah the Big put, just a tip for the future if you're in a foreign country and something fishy happens. There's, of course, a common story about heading back from the tracker and getting all the cameras and rushes and footage stolen. Always immediately pull out your smartphone and start filming. Scumbags will then start hiding their faces and will let go of the situation. They tried to do this to me in Italy, and as soon as I started filming, they stopped trying to pull me over and took off.
Mm.
Obviously, don't do that when you're driving, but if you've got a passenger with you.
Yeah, and maybe not if you're in person, because they could just then nick your phone, potentially.
Yeah, don't do it once, yeah.
I mean, I'm no security expert, but anyway, yes. I like the thinking, though. That's good. Interestingly, for those of you that watched last week's show and were none the wiser of what actually happened to Connor, this comment made me laugh. Matthew Clements. Connor's without doubt the worst storyteller ever. I've watched it twice and still don't know what happened. He was...
There were a lot of people like... But I still don't know how they got the bags.
So there was what Connor failed to say, evidently, was that there was... someone else hiding in the other car that snuck out whilst they've been distracted, quickly yoinked the bags and then snuck back in again. So yeah, that's possibly the missing...
You omitted that.
The point, missing bit, it? Yeah.
Ted Eddie wrote in to say, main thing is Connor and the cameraman are okay, Liam.
Yeah.
Don't feel stupid, Connor, something we've been saying to him constantly for the last week. It's easy to look back in hindsight and blame yourself, but at the time it's not obvious if you think there's an issue with the vehicle on the motorway. Thanks for sharing and alerting others.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, underneath 5 gym exercises proven to make you a faster cyclist, Duca Red 3 put, nice video. Only comment I'd make is that for many leg exercises, you'd be better using shoes with flat/firm soles rather than the big bouncy running/fitness shoes that Si was using. Didn't put that bit, but you were using those, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Important for stability and safety.
Yeah, a lot of people said that, actually. A lot. I mean, I'd argue that my ankles should give me some kind of stability. But anyway, no, I've truly taken note. So thank you for that, everyone. Joseph LaViolette said, cycling performance aside, everyone should do this for impact resistance and injury prevention. Also, it's very beneficial for overall health and longevity, more so than cardio. Don't skip the gym, you'll be a more animal human. I mean, that is true, isn't it? Like, The one thing I was thinking, in fact, we were having this conversation just a moment ago, weren't we, is that everything that you should do for, whether it's for the sport that you like doing or whatever, like, the day's not long enough, is it? Like,
no, I mean, I'd be in agreement with that comment if you are determined to increase your longevity. So I think the gym really is important for that. But like you said, if you're determined to get better on the bike, there are so many hours in the day, and if you want to be the best you can be on the bike, it's going to require more bike riding.
Yeah.
A little bit of gym, perhaps.
Well, and like Professor Ben Ronestad said, if you don't like going to the gym, then it's a big undertaking for something you don't like. And yeah, it might potentially improve your quality of life for a few years, but if it's made your life worse for the preceding 60, I don't know, like, as long as you're not just going to the pub and drinking instead.
This is my debate at the moment, because I'm spending quite a lot of time obsessing over the things you can do to help you live longer. But I've got a feeling that, you know, should I manage to get myself beyond 100, I'll look back and think, well, I just spent 60 years not really enjoying anything, just determined to get here. But what?
Yeah.
Anyway, last one underneath that gym video is KS Go2IG. Dan's legs make his socks look tan. For those of you who haven't seen the video yet, they're bright white, the socks. Not quite as bright white as my legs, apparently.
Ah, brilliant. That'll change, mate, the more time you spend on your bicycle.
I've got tan lines.
There you go.
And saddle sores, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a video there, isn't there? Underneath, a very popular video from Connor from Sunday, where he tried short cranks for 30 days, a bit longer actually now. Bruce Humphrey said, comfort is a performance gain. If you feel comfortable, you'll ride more. So, yeah, I agree with that, definitely. I mean... depends how you categorise performance, but yeah, it can often be performance related, can't it?
Derek Nally has started off with a bit of mansplaining by saying the performance gain you're trying to pinpoint is not feeling awful at the end of a long ride. It's not peak output you've gained, your ability to hold a good position and ride all day without pain. A solid bike fitting here in Taiwan did me that service, and I haven't had a day of bike pain since.
Wowzers.
Crikey, obviously not been trying hard enough.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, even the best bike fit in the world, like cycling, sometimes, like, it does hurt, right?
Yeah, if you push yourself.
Yeah. Anyway.
You just needed shorter cranks for the Fred Wizard and you wouldn't have been so shattered today.
Well, this is true, yeah. Maybe that was what I'm saying. I tell you what, though, genuinely, I was thinking, is that because the hills are so steep on the Fred Witten, so I had 36, 34, and I was riding at 40 RPM for about 330 watts, and I was thinking, had I had short cranks, like, that is the one point where they would have not been advantageous.
Less leverage.
Like, it's the one point on a road bike, yeah, is if you ever run out of gears, which is rare these days. But anyway, that was going through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. It's a funny place to be in my head. Right, last one. Flomo said, I'm 186 centimetres tall, 90 centimetre inseam, 12 years I have spent on 175mm cranks. I switched to 170 cranks, and it's a game changer. Climbing is so different now, and on the flats or in a group, it's just easier to crank and keep a nice cadence. Well, there you go, a bit of anecdotal evidence, fuel on the fire of shorter cranks. Are you going to go shorter, Dan?
I am going to go a little bit shorter because I'm borrowing a bike for the race that I'm doing this Saturday, so.
172.5. That's really short these days, mate. Like, proper short.
down from 175s. Yeah. All right, what's coming up on the channel this week? On Thursday, we've got Alex's latest instalment. Most of you have been watching along as he prepares for Unbound, which is approaching very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah.
He's going to let us know what he's been doing, his latest preparations towards that event.
You know, he took Friday off work to go for a 9-hour bike ride.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice weather, right? So it was really nice. It was a great route. I forget what he averaged wattage-wise, but it was pretty bonkers. It was like 260 watts for 9 hours. Yeah. Dylan Johnson, you watch out, my friend.
Oh.
No. I'm just saying that there was a power target that Alex had in mind, and actually he's not far off there.
Yeah. Crikey, that is impressive.
Yeah. Saturday... have you said Saturday yet?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, I have at some point in my life, but not in this show.
Not in this context. No, Hank went bikepacking on a budget. I mean, I almost think that's the wrong thing to call it. Basically, Hank flew to Spain with no bike and not much else and managed to go bikepacking. So to find out how he did that, then watch on Saturday. It's very funny, actually. And then on Sunday, we haven't actually filmed this yet, There's a presenter challenge, a team time trial challenge. If anyone is in our neck of the woods here in the UK and is up for a Wednesday night time trial, we'll be at Chew Valley Lake. So there you go. Bristol South, big up, are promoting one of their evening time trials. And we're going to be there.
Nice.
Getting our butts kicked, yeah. Probably.
It'd be embarrassing if no one turns up to cheer you on now, isn't it?
Well, it'd be all right, because if we put it on Instagram and like make some people cheer, then it'll all look like massive,
yeah,
won't it?
Get some AI fans.
Basically, yeah. We can make it look like whatever we want on Instagram. So that'll be fine.
Right. Well done for getting to the end of the show.
Me? Yeah. Or everyone else?
Yeah, well, both of us and the other person watching.
Yeah.
See you next week.
I think I've got away with it, but...
Yeah, well done.